Today on Real Life Radio.
Why do I not want to upset him? Well, on the most basic is I don't want to get spanked. And God says, well, okay, I'll take that for a little while, but Jack, I'd like you to really move on past that. I'd rather have you obey me, not because you don't want to get spanked, but because you just full on love me crazy. And that's the goal. He wants you to follow him because you love him crazy.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called It's Time to Go Now, Part 2, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, with verses 12 and 13. The powerful truth of these two verses challenges the believer to be wise in their walk with God. It is the God of the Bible who pleads with us to know Him. His desire is for us to experience His good pleasure by responding to His salvation. Many Christians don't think they need to attend church to grow in the Lord, but we really do need church, not only for fellowship, but for spiritual maturity as well. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the greatest desire of Moses was for God to show him His glory. To grow deeper in our experience with God means to want what He wants, and by getting alone with God to ask Him what He desires of us, to show us and where He wants to take us. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Why did you do that? Why did you go to the Formula One race in Long Beach? Or why did you go to the NASCAR race in Ontario? Why? Or Fontana? Why did you do that? Because I am a F1 Formula One enthusiast. With me? Why did you go buy that from, I don't know, what? Huh? Walmart. Walmart and Nordstrom's. Okay. Doesn't matter. Somebody might say, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go to Walmart. I can't wait. You could say that you are a Walmart enthusiast. What does that mean? It means NASCAR, Formula One, Walmart, bingo, whatever it is. Oh, I can't wait. Some people get in their cars and they drive to meet their God because it's their enthusiasm. It's what's in them that drives them. They're controlled by it. What is it? They can't wait. They count the hours down before they get their car. They get in their car and they drive to Vegas because that's what they live for. They can't wait. What is it? That's their enthusiasm. Gambling dwells within them. Now, that God will kill them and destroy their lives. Or you can have a God that loves you and builds up your life. In your life, don't answer. Only you know. God in you. He's talking to you and I all the time. What is the God that dwells within you who's got your life on a circuit whereby you are going around and around on this topic and issue? He is the power flowing through and on the wire. He's the energy of your life. And if it's anything other than God, you are tired. And you're like this. And you're just like, oh man, somebody give me a Red Bull or an energy drink. Give me another cup of coffee because my gods are killing me. But this is the world without God. Everybody's got a God. You got gods. We all got gods. None of us are atheists. I saw some guy. I had to go look it up. I saw some guy yesterday driving up to Volano. You know where Volano? Just for the record, I don't live in Volano. I live near Volano. And he was driving up in this Mercedes Benz. I've never seen a Mercedes Benz like that before. I don't know where it came from. It looked like a spaceship. And I looked it up. That's a $300,000 car. And it's like, okay, now he was fine. He's on the phone. He looked normal. I can tell you this. There's a reason why God does not allow me to have a car like that. Because I probably would have had an altar to Mercedes and one to Benz. And are you with me? I'm not saying owning that car is wrong, but if that car owns you, it is wrong. Enthusiasm, that is God dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit. He's in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It is who's in you, whom you have from God, says the Bible. You're not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit in you, the power of God, the presence of God, the person of God. The presence of God? I personally believe, at least for my life, that the things that we're talking about today and relating to verse 13, this is the most important thing for me. Even though we have a couple more things to look at, the presence of God, if I'm aware that the presence of God is always in and around me, it's going to change the way I live. Look, let's be honest. There's some things that I don't do because I don't want to do them. And God says, that's good. I don't want you to do them. And there's some things I want to do that I'm not allowed to do. So I don't do them. Why don't I do them? Because it had upset him. And then as I whittled down in my Christian development, why do I not want to upset him? Well, on the most basic is I don't want to get spanked. And God says, well, okay, I'll take that for a little while, but Jack, I'd like you to really move on past that. I'd rather have you obey me, not because you don't want to get spanked, but because you just full on love me crazy. And that's the goal. He wants you to follow him because you love him crazy. That's the Pilgrim's Progress, ladies and gentlemen. You follow God because you can get in trouble? Okay, we all get that. But let's grow on past that. Let's go beyond it. Find the right motive. And that is by knowing him and practicing the presence of God. You don't want to do that thing, ultimately, because it'll hurt him. And if you don't want him hurt or grieved, then it means you love him. No response, just a question. Do you want to hurt God? Do you want to grieve him? Do you want to make him cry? Of course not, because you love him. By the way, that is the keeping of his commandments. Did you know that? Oh, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just give me another one. Oh, then forget it. You don't even know what we're talking about here. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It doesn't mean like, oh gosh, all right. Okay, I'll keep them. See, I love you. Try that in marriage. Look, I took out the trash. See how much I love you? Now don't talk to me again until Valentine's Day. Oh, that'll go over big. No, Jesus is saying, if you love me, the things that I've asked you to do, you'll say, right on. Thank you, God. I would have fallen off a ditch, but you kept me alive. Thank you, Lord. The presence of God. Are you familiar with Moses? Are you familiar with Moses meeting God at the burning bush? You know what's amazing about that if you think about it? God did not always remain to Moses as a burning bush. You say, what? It's true. At first it was, Moses, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to put you in a crack of a rock because I'm too awesome. I'm going to pass by and I'll see you where I've been. You can see where I've been. And it's going to freak you out. And just that's going to freak you out. So he goes from the bush, right, to now this passing by. And then you read in the Bible that God says, you know what? Don't talk to me, Aaron. Don't talk to me, Miriam, the rest of you guys. I'm going to talk to Moses and I'm going to talk to him like a friend talks to his friend face to face. Okay, I want you to think about this for a minute. This is the Christian's progress. In Exodus 33:18, Moses said to God, please, please show me your glory. Translation, please, I'm begging of you. This is Moses. Are you with me, everybody? Are you awake? Hello? Moses says, God, our relationship has reached a point where I can't continue on any further like this. We've got to become more serious. We need to be more committed. In a modern vernacular, God, we need to take this relationship to the next level. And God would say, and what might that be, Moses? I want to see you. Excuse me? I want to see you, please. He says, show me your glory. The word in Hebrew is literally the word to enjoy. Please, I want to enjoy your glory. It means to have the full experience of that which is available to you, to stare at or to gaze upon joy. I know no way of gazing upon joy in this world. I don't know it. Looking at little grandkids is fun. That's beautiful. Warms your heart in a way that's it's never been warmed before. It's like, oh, wow. But according to the Bible, there is a joy that you and I have yet to experience until we see and experience the presence of God. And clearly from the Bible, it doesn't have to be until we die. It can be now. It's your choice. It's my choice. So I wrote down some thoughts, and I hope they bless you. I'm still meditating on them. I wrote them down. I'm going to be looking at them over the course of this week. And I wrote to myself that I, Jack, personally believe that there is no greater joy that we can give the Lord than what Moses is saying here. Show me your glory. Show me you. Show me you. Show me you. Please, I'm not leaving. How does that affect the heart of God? Moses is saying, in my words, I don't care anymore about sticks turning into snakes. Remember that? Are you familiar with the story of Moses? I don't care one bit, God. You turned sticks into snakes, and that was cool. I don't want to see that again. Do you think this insults God? I don't think so. I don't care anymore about parting the Red Sea. I don't need it. Not going to do a thing for me. I don't care, God, anymore about pillars of fire by night and clouds of glory by day. I don't care anymore. I'm done with that stuff. Would to God, oh my goodness, that in my own life, in our lives as believers, we would say, I don't care if you feed me one more meal, God. I don't care about one more Southern California perfect day. Oh, it means nothing to me anymore. I don't care if I have all the money in the world. Show me your glory. I just want to see you for who you are. I want to be in your presence. I want to talk face to face like a friend talks to his friend with you. I think Moses is saying, I don't care anymore about being stuffed inside a crack of some rock and you covering my face with your hand and you pass by and you show me where you were. I am not interested in that anymore. Christian, I pray to the Lord that you and I are not interested in that kind of stuff anymore. Oh, I just want to see a miracle. So what? Show me thy glory. To meet God alone in private? When he envelops you and you, I don't know. It's almost like when it happens, it's like it can't continue. You're going to die from sheer experience of joy. It's like, God, no more of you. Wait. I know I asked for you to show me your glory, but I can't handle any more of this. You feel like the inside of you is going to come out and it's all good. It's too good. Christian, cry out to him and say, show me your glory. The experience is ours to seek. He's there waiting in all of his fullness, and I wonder how many times we just run by him. We run down the hallway and out the door, and God is sitting in the room, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and so often he waits too long. He loves us. He's the best thing for us. And Moses, in his desperation of Exodus 33:18, says, please, he's desperate, show me your glory. Psalm 27, King David, mentioned this verse a couple months ago, Psalm 27, verse 4, David, what an animal for God. I don't know if everyone's ever said that they'd like to be like David, because you and I don't want to be like David. He cheated on his family and nation and God. He slept with Bathsheba. So he's an adulterer. And then when he got caught, he murders her husband. David's life, when you read it, was a circuit of obedience and disobedience. Guess who he's like? Just like us. At one point, he was the richest man in all of Israel, could have been the region. God says, that guy's got a heart after me. His heart is hot for mine. And so when David's old, rich, the king, the reporter asks him, gosh, you got everything. What do you need? What do you want? Verse 27, chapter 27, verse 4. Oh, this, I just need this one thing. All the cameras got ready. Everybody got their phones out to record the moment that the king is going to say, oh, I need one more thing. It's what I've desired. It's of the Lord. I've desired this. That will I seek after. I'm still, listen, this is it. This is what verse 13 means. I am still pursuing him. But David, you're old. You've had a monumental victory. You've killed giants. He says, I'm still seeking this. What is it? Number one, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, really? What's number two? To behold the beauty of the Lord. What's three? To talk to him. To talk to God in his temple. That's all I want. Verse 13 goes on to say that we are to experience the purpose of God, the purpose of God, to will and to do. God is at work to will and to do in your life. Very quickly, I must say this fast. It's this. Listen, you walk with God. Church, listen, you walk with God, and he's going to put thoughts in your head. Listen. And you're going to love the thought. Watch. As a Christian, when you're growing, God will put thoughts in your mind, and many times it's a burden, it's a labor, because you don't understand. It's like, oh, what? Oh, no, no. As you learn to yield to him and cooperate with his leading, you wind up that discovering that losing is winning with him. When you lose to yourself, you win with him, and then what happens? As you walk with him, listen, as you walk more with him, what he tells you to do, all of a sudden, there's a melting, there's a molding where you mix the colors together. You've got separate colors, but when you mix them in the mixer, they become one color. And when that happens, you know what happens? This is what happens. You have a thought, and the thought is thus and so. And you go, oh my gosh, that would be wonderful. And you wind up discovering that God put the thought in you, and you love it. He is at work in you both to will and to do. He puts his wants in you, and the wants, because you're walking with him, his wants become your wants. Your wants become his wants because you're one. And you're walking with him, and you think, oh, Lord, I would love to fill in the blank. And God says, whispering quietly, it's because I gave you that. And we're one. We're maturing together, you and I. Very quickly, Ezra chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says they had great success because God had put it in their hearts. And finally, this. Number 5, experiencing the pleasure of God. Look what it says. It's for his good pleasure. See, I knew it was coming down to him ultimately anyway. Oh, you don't understand what his good pleasure is. Are you ready? We're going to end with this. In fact, stand. Open up your Bibles. That's going to remind me how late it is. Stand. Keep your Bibles open. If anybody's leaving, just trip them. We're not done yet. This word here, pleasure, is the Greek word that means this: his delight, his kindness, his purpose, his wish, his desire, his good, his pleasure. So this is his good pleasure. Are you listening? Psalm 37, 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Translation, walk with God so close. As you do, he deposits things in your heart that what you want is what he wanted to begin with. This is his good pleasure. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack or want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here's the bomb. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is his good pleasure. John 17, 24. Father, I desire, I want, I wish, it's my purpose, that they also whom you've given me may be with me where I am. This is his good pleasure. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn or preeminent one among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. This is exactly the meaning of that one little verse in Philippians 2:13. This is why we need to go now. And let him do it. Father, we praise you for your almighty word. Heavenly Father, almighty God, possess us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Where we are unyielding, make us willing. Where we are resisting, cause us, Lord, to relinquish. Where we are hiding, may we stand up. And Father, more than ever, set upon us the reality of heaven. And Father, from this moment on, may we get up from this place with a greater passion to go forth, because it's time. It's high time that we awake out of our sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, It's Time to Go Now, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called to his purpose. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, I'm excited about this new book, Temptation. Tell us about that, would you?
Yeah, Davey, listen, just put out a book, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. And if you look at it, it's intentionally small. I think it's less than 100 pages or at about that.
Yeah, true.
And everyone's tempted.
Yeah.
But we look real close at Luke chapter 4 and Jesus giving us point by point instruction on what to do when we're tempted.
Awesome.
So I think this is going to be a very, very practical, fun book. When I say fun, because you're going to come away with it equipped. And we're excited about this.
Can we dig into the title just a bit, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life?
I think one of the most profound things that a Christian wakes up to is that they become keenly aware that they're being tempted.
Yeah.
From the moment you're a new believer, you wake up to, before you used to flow with temptation, but a believer, it's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer, is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy. And it is the battle of your life, because it's never going to stop until the day you see Jesus.
Wow.
So, yep, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.